2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, welcome into another edition of the Jazz Notes Podcast. My name is Cleon Wall, and Sam Farnsworth is joining me here in the studios for another edition of Jazz Notes, powered by KSL Sports. The Utah Jazz beat the Minnesota Timberwolves. I don't know if that should surprise us or not surprise us there, but I'm going to take it as a not surprise because the Timberwolves are terrible. But hey, we got a win from the Utah Jazz. But not only that, we also got to see the maximum effort, the maximum amount, the maximum whatever you want to call it of Joe Ingles.
That's a good thing. I mean, Joe Ingles, we need to see more Joe Ingles. His shots per game are down by 4 or 5 shots per game from last year. And I mean, that's understandable with the additions the Jazz made this year. And maybe I don't always want to see him shooting the ball, but his ability to facilitate the offense in these last few games has been the most impressive part of it. And I think something's clicking with the group of guys on the floor, especially with Rudy Gobert, when Joe Ingles is the one kind of being the floor general.
Let me give you his stat line from the game against the Timberwolves. 9 of 14 from the field, 3 of 6 from three-point line, 5 assists, 5 rebounds, 1 steal, 23 points. That's not what I'm expecting from Joe Ingles, at least when it comes to points. I'll say that right out. I'm not expecting him to take 14 field goal attempts a game. If it's around 10, I think 9 or 10, I think I'm fine with that. The assists is where I want it to be. And I think what I liked about this game is that he showed in the game that he was able to drive to the basket effectively, even with some pretty good defenders on him in Josh Okogie. He was able to drive effectively and make the right decision. The Jazz need more of that.
Yeah.
And not just from Joe. I'm talking about on the whole, they need more of that. They need more, we're going to drive to the basket and we're going to make the right decision. I think you saw that in Joe. I looked at it and I'm like, this is the aggressive Joe Ingles we're all waiting for. It's not just the threes. It's just doing something good with the ball, whatever that is. And last night, by the way, we're recording this on Thursday night. Last night against the Timberwolves, it was driving to the basket and making a good decision, which included making some shots and making some great passes.
Yeah, no kidding. And it even goes back before the Timberwolves game. You know, he's been doing it the last couple of games. And so, and the great thing about it is when he makes that first good decision with the ball, especially when he's passing it, it seems like that just begins the flow, the offensive flow. That ball seems to move around with fluidity and it ends up with someone getting an open look. And that's what you want. You want to see the ball. I don't want to see guys passing up wide open shots necessarily, but the way the ball has been flowing around the floor, especially in that game against the Timberwolves, is what kind of stood out to me. And Joe started a lot of that or was parts of a lot of that as well.
Passing really is the key. I mean, last night they had 23 assists. The Utah Jazz had 23 assists on 47 made shots. Almost half of their shots came off of a direct pass for an assist. And that's really what you want to see. That's the key is passing. They talked about it in their loss to Oklahoma City. We need to pass better. We need to communicate better. We need to play better defense. There were a lot of things. Rudy Gobert, we need to, you know, get that ball around the perimeter and get that ball into him. We just need to get that ball around. And we could see that come to fruition against the Timberwolves. And yes, part of it has to be because you are playing the Timberwolves. They've lost 6 straight games. But on the other hand, I think that they actually kind of spoke what they wanted to into reality. We need to do this. And they went out and they did it, Sam.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it really is a good thing to see, especially with what we've seen. So many turnovers in the past during that stretch of losses. they've got to control the ball better, and we're seeing steps in that direction. If you're not controlling the ball, then obviously you talk about the Jazz being a defense-oriented team, a defense-first team. Well, it's hard to be a defense-first team when you're giving the ball away and giving the other team quick chances at bringing the ball back for points. And so the Jazz, with their ability to control the ball on offense and set it up the way they want it to be set up, it sort of dictated the rest of that game, too.
I want to talk about passing here in a second again, but mm-hmm. let's go to one other key thing here, and that is, what do you do with Joe Ingles when Mike Conley's healthy again? We talked about this last week on the Jazz Notes podcast, and I just gave a terse, this is what you do. A week later, I want to know if we still mm-hmm. kind of feel the same way, because you kind of brought it up last week. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring it up this week. I still think you want to have Joe come off the bench, but I really think you need him to play with the starters a little bit more, and not just at the end of games, because he is so much more effective when you have Rudy Gobert on the floor. You've got to find ways to get him involved with more of the starters, because he looked dynamite against mm-hmm. the Timberwolves, and he has looked good since he has been in the starting lineup for the most part.
So right now you've kind of got a built-in excuse to mess with the lineup a little bit, okay, because Conley's been on the bench. But once he's healthy and ready to come back, here's your excuse. You want to ease him back in, right? You can continue to start Joe and give him time with the starters and then bring Conley in, because I am very curious to see, and I wonder, a part of me wonders if Coach Quinn Snyder has any curiosity with this at all, to see what Mike Conley might bring to that second unit, which has struggled in recent games. If Mike Conley comes out there as the point guard in the second unit, so to speak, and let's say he's on the floor with Emmanuel Mudiay, then Emmanuel Mudiay doesn't have to be the primary decision maker with the ball on offense. Mike Conley and Emmanuel, I think, is maybe even a better player off the ball anyway, not necessarily always shooting, but creating opportunities to get to the basket. Anyway, I would be curious to see how that would go. And like I said, you got a built-in excuse to do that if you want to mess with that a little bit and see how Mike does, maybe coming off the bench with some of these second unit guys. And then you still give Joe his time with the starters. And then, obviously, if you don't like the way that is, then you just say, well, yeah, okay, Mike's ready to get his full reps again. You just switch it back. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it, but I think you've got an excuse to mess with the roster right now.
Well, and you need something. You need someone to be with that second unit who's going to be able to score, because they have a really tough time scoring. They don't have a lot of outside shooting. And I know Mike has struggled so far this season with outside shooting, but if you put him on that second unit, he's your best outside shooter. Yes. I think he's going to take advantage of that. Yeah. But they're also going to try and game plan for him being the best guy out there too.
And I wonder if he would take the initiative to score more. You know, I don't know if that's coming out the way I want it to, but I think we talked about this the last time I was on the podcast with you too. His cohesion with Memphis in the offense there, where he was kind of the primary guy and Mark Gasol was his wingman, so to speak, you know, and they kind of played off each other. On this offense where you've got Rudy, you've got Donovan, you've got Boyan, so many other guys, I think he's been a little, I don't know if hesitant or tentative, you know, he's maybe been a little gun shy. Although he still has been taking the open shots. If he were on the second unit, maybe he would feel more comfortable in that role, that, okay, this is my unit to run. We're doing it my way. And that, you know, I'd just be super curious to see if the Jazz may even try to go that direction for a little bit.
And they're going to have an opportunity at the very least to maybe try some new lineups out. I know you might think to yourself, well, they can't give away too many games because they're playing some, let's just admit, they're going to play some lousy teams coming up here in the next few games. Miami aside from that, but they're going to play some lousy teams. They have a chance to experiment, maybe not for long periods of time, but just to see how things go for a couple of minutes at a time. So maybe that is a good thing that they should do, Sam.
Yeah, and you don't want to experiment too long, like you said, because you're coming up after the holidays is when I always feel like, all right, now it's time to push the gas pedal. Let's start racking up some wins. But the Jazz are in a very favorable stretch. I think it's 14 of the next 19 are opponents that do not have winning records. This is the opportunity for the Jazz to roll together several wins and climb back up the standings, you know. And I don't care who the opponent is. When it comes down to April, you don't remember who they got all the wins against. It only matters if they got the 50, 52, 53 wins, whatever, and that they're top four team in the standings.
Can you believe we haven't talked about Donovan Mitchell? We're going to talk about him after the break.
a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back into the Jazz Notes podcast. We haven't talked about Donovan Mitchell. Mm-hmm. He ended up with 30 points and 6 assists last night. Your thoughts on his approach and, you know, how things are going for him right now?
Well, in that game against the Timberwolves, that's the Donovan Mitchell I think we want to see every game. I think we're more often than not going to see a Donovan Mitchell that shoots, you know, in the 40 to 45% range from the field on any given night. I think that's just who he is. Partly because, in my opinion, is that he's not taking the ball to the rack as much as he's done in the past and creating opportunities to draw contact at the free throw line or get the easy buckets. He likes to shoot a lot of those mid-range jumpers, and they drop, though, for him. And I you know, my take on that, I know Quinn Snyder wants to see more threes and more scores at the basket, but my take is if you're making the mid-range jump shots and you're getting them, keep shooting them. Donovan in that game against the Timberwolves was making everything, though. And what I loved, though, what I felt like I saw in that game was that not only was he knocking down some mid-range jumpers and some threes, but he was creating scoring opportunities at the basket, which Donovan is so dynamic. He's so athletic. He's got the ability to cross people up, to mix things around, and get in and draw contact at the rim. And I want to see more of that from him.
I'm going to go back to something I've said earlier, and not just in this podcast, but in previous podcasts, and it has to deal with Donovan's dynamism. Is that a word? Let's not go there. Okay. How dynamic he is, mm-hmm. because they need him to be dynamic so that he can pass the ball and also score. Yeah. What I'm trying to say is the Jazz are only going to go far as Donovan can really take them. He's still the star of the team, but he is so effective when he passes the ball. When he is shooting right. as well as he does, that makes him more effective doing other things. And when he's driving to the basket, that also makes him more effective. The thing is, smart teams, and I'm not going to say that the Timberwolves are dumb, but they're not one of the better defensive teams in the NBA, but smart teams are going to allow Donovan Mitchell, Conley, they're going to allow him to drive to the basket, and then they're going to clog the passing lanes and mm-hmm. say, go ahead and shoot that mid-range shot. Go ahead and shoot that floater, because yep. we know how less effective it is. So the Jazz have to figure out a way for Donovan to still be aggressive going to the basket, mm-hmm. still be able to create for other people, but the only way I can think that this happens is that he either turns into a Steve Nash clone, which is probably not mm-hmm. going to happen because that takes his explosiveness away from him, mm-hmm. or he's going to have to go to the basket harder and convert a lot more, and that's going to open things more. I could be wrong on that, but that's kind of my opinion mm-hmm. right now.
Well, I say go to the basket harder. I mean, that guy can explode. And we saw in that one dunk in the first quarter against the Timberwolves where he got down the lane, took that hop, went up with the right hand, threw it down. I think Matt Harpering on the TV call said it was an angry dunk. Well, I want to see more angry dunks from Donovan. Obviously, those are fun to watch, too. Those are the kind of plays that not only, if it's in the home arena, get the fans just out of their seats and going nuts. If it's in the road arena, it gets the big, oh, and hushes the crowd, and the Jazz bench is going nuts. It's one of those plays. Whether it's a dunk or not, when you go hard at a big guy or anyone to the hoop and score, it gets people and teammates excited, and it triggers things. It sparks things. It gets things rolling. And Donovan's the heart. Donovan's the heart of what the Jazz offense can do.
We're going to make this a short podcast tonight for various reasons. One, I just keep coughing, so that's not a good thing. Sam, you know what? You could look and say, mm-hmm. again, it's the Timberwolves, mm-hmm. and they have a 6-game losing streak, and but it's still not too late for the Jazz to turn things around. Yes, the Lakers are 8 games ahead of the Jazz. Mm-hmm. But then you think of the rest of the teams. The Clippers are only 4.5 games ahead of them. Mavericks 3. Rockets 2.5. By the way, Mavericks 3. Can you believe that?
Yeah, no kidding.
Rockets 2.5, Nuggets only 1.5.
Right.
The Jazz are the last team in the Western Conference right now with a winning record.
Yeah.
The Jazz can still turn this thing around. I really do believe that. It might need a trade somewhere in there so that they become a better team. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, just because we're looking at the bench and they don't have a lot of shooting and really a lot of scoring off the bench right now. So maybe that's going to come. But in reality, I don't think that, again, kind of like what we've talked about before, just relax, Jazz fans. There's still plenty of season to go. Tons. Jazz can still get back into this thing.
Yeah, tons of basketball left. And maybe this is just something in my head or whatever, but I've always believed and it felt like the Jazz are a better second-half team. And we've seen that the last 3 years. They turn on last. You look at the team last year compared to this year through 24, 25 games, whatever it is that they're at, and the record is very similar, if not better this year than last year's by a game or two. So yes, Jazz fans, there's no need to worry yet. You know, if they're still playing like this and only two games above 500 after the All-Star break, then yeah, you know, tighten that belt a little bit more or something. But I'll tell you what, it's, and like I said, 14 of the next 19 are against teams with losing records. This is a chance. The Jazz could very easily get up to that number three spot by, you know, the end of January, mid-January.
Wow.
There it is.
You know what? I need to go. I need a drink of water or something. I don't know what it is. We're going to end the Jazz Notes podcast. Jazz play the Warriors on Friday. They get three days off. 3 days off to experiment and maybe get Mike Conley a little bit healthier. It'll be interesting to see what happens to the Jazz when they go on their little mini road trip. But first, the Warriors, I think that's a win, Sam. And then I think it's nothing but up from there.
No back-to-backs during this 19-game stretch either.
Ooh, that's nice.
That's favorable.
That's nice. All right, thanks for listening to the Jazz Notes pod. We'll talk to you soon.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.